There's a new Indiana Jones film out this week, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. The Indiana Jones story starts with the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the Ark in question is the Ark of the Covenant, the one that's described for us in the Old Testament. Here's some pictures. There's Indy and the Ark. There's a great deal of interest into where the Ark is, and that's the basis of the film. Some say there's more than one Ark. There's several of these. And some say the original Ark is in a church in Ethiopia. And that's the bottom picture. That is the Church of Mary of Zion in Ethiopia, in a place called Aksum. The priests who look after this particular church, they don't serve very long in that role. They seem to get ill. They don't seem to last very long. So there's great intrigue about where this ark is, and some say it might be in Ethiopia. What we just heard in Acts 8 is really the beginning of the church in Ethiopia. I don't know if they have the ark there, but they definitely have the gospel. And it's also a story about distance. The walk from Ethiopia to Belfast would take you 1,616 hours. That is 67 days. It's more than 2 months. Jerusalem's closer. The walk from Jerusalem to Ethiopia is 773 hours or 32 days. This is the journey this man made, 32 days a month. And since we're thinking about great distances, we might as well start there. You and I were once far from God. And Acts 8 says that to us. It's a passage all about distance. When we say that Ethiopia is a long way from Jerusalem, the people in Jerusalem thought of Ethiopia as the edge of the world. There was no one further away than Ethiopia. And beyond geography, there's distance in this man as well. We don't know his name. Did you notice that? We're never told his name. He is an Ethiopian eunuch forever. And then there's his nature, the eunuch. He either way, you can be born a eunuch or made a eunuch, it doesn't really matter. The polite way of saying that to you in church this morning is that he could not be circumcised. And I inflict that image on you because of where that man has just been. Jerusalem. He's been to Jerusalem. But worship for him meant the outer courts. Because he couldn't be circumcised, he couldn't join the assembly of God's people, and therefore couldn't go to the inner courts. He's limited to the outer courts. He cannot carry the mark of Abraham. Do you hear that? That's distance. He's from far away. He's anonymous. He's a eunuch. The more we look at this, the more we see. He's also reading the scriptures, but he can't understand them. That's more distance. And the whole scene takes place in the desert road of the old Gaza road. We're told specifically that's a desert road. More distance. Do you know what, folks? This man might as well be from another planet when it comes to you and me and God. And yet, he is our first teacher this morning. Because like him, we were all once far from God. Bangor is further from Jerusalem than Ethiopia is. We're not Jewish either. So we aren't circumcised. We would be restricted in how close we could get to the temple courts in Jerusalem. In the rules and regs of the Old Testament, we are as far from God as this Ethiopian. But what's the difference? The difference is he knows it. He makes the trip to worship however he can. He has a copy of Isaiah and he's reading it. He has the humility in this story to know that he needs help and he's got the courage to ask for it. And then what we'll see is that he does something about it. He responds to what he hears. You know, we're like every church in the country at the minute. We can't even get some people to drive 10 minutes to get here to church. And yet even they, and you and I, we know we have been this far from God. So this Ethiopian tells us something. We know what our sins are. We know what they do. None of us are clean enough, good enough to go to God on our own. There's distance there that cannot be crossed by you. We talk about that in our relationships, don't we? A person can grow distant. That's the word we use. We don't like it. It's a horrible feeling. So if this story or the gospel is going to make any sense to us today, we need to know what the problem is. The Ethiopian eunuch and our own stories tell us that it is distance. We are far from God without Jesus. And because of that, somebody had to come and find you. Across all that distance, culture, religion, geography, God reaches out with his message and he talks to us. And it's the same way as the Ethiopian heard it. He's been to church, he's on his way home, and he's turning this passage of the Bible over in his mind. And God sends him someone to help him do it. That's all in the first two verses. Who he is, where he's been, what he's doing, and Philip turns up to help him. In fact, he's reading it out loud, which is what you did in those days, and he's finding it tough going. Philip has to go up to him and say, look, do you understand this? And he says, look, how could I possibly understand this unless someone helps me? We know that feeling, don't we, of needing help with something and then the relief when it comes, whether it's a flat tire by the road or something in your house breaks down and someone comes and fixes it. Or dare I hope that you come to church and you find something tricky and somebody helps you understand it. Imagine that. Here's the short version of what we've read this morning. This is right man, right road, right time. And he asks a brilliant question. It's on our screens. Do you understand what you're reading? So simple. And Philip explains to him, this is all about Jesus. We're told as well which bit of Isaiah he's reading. It's about the suffering servant. Philip starts there and takes him all the way to Jesus. That's the short version of the story. That's great. That's good news. The long version is that this eunuch, with no prospects of any children himself, sees in what he's reading someone like him, a servant who is cut off from the families of the world, with no descendants to speak of. We can come to church this morning for a baptism and see how valuable and precious family is, can't we? That's really important to us. Here's a man with none of that. Physically, he could not produce children. So he sees in what he's reading himself, and he asks that question, who's this about? Remember that distance? This man carries distance in his body. Uncircumcised, can't join God's family, and yet Isaiah speaks to him in very specific terms. We're given part of Isaiah. The likelihood is that he reads on. Part of the scroll would have kept going in Isaiah. And if I could be so bold, here are a couple of things he may have, well, he definitely read, but he may have been puzzling over them. And listen to how they speak to him. He may have read this. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Isn't that confusing? And yet it speaks to him, doesn't it? A man who cannot have a family. And he reads this. He thinks, who is this? What is happening here? Even this one, don't be afraid, you'll not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you'll not be humiliated. Here's a man who, because of who he was in the Jewish culture, would have been afraid, put to shame, disgraced and humiliated. And Isaiah says, no. You start to see where his questions come from. And then you'll not believe what he reads next. If he was to keep going in his reading, and he probably did, listen to this one. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Imagine for a second that you are a foreigner and a eunuch, and you read that. Do you feel God closing the distance with this man? Isn't that what we're seeing? He won't be excluded. He will have a future. In fact, he's given a glimpse of that eternity in his reading. It gets better and better for this man. Look at this one. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls, a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. Right man, right road, right time, right scripture. Now, why wouldn't any Sunday at Ballygilbert be different? God is working and speaking in his church and in his word. He is speaking the same name over and over and over again, just like Philip did, Jesus. We're told that, aren't we? This story has an Ethiopian, a Christian, it even has an angel, don't miss that one, but God is the great missionary of Acts. God is the great missionary of the book of Acts. When he speaks, we should listen. Someone had to come and find you. It was God. And he uses his word and his son to do it. That's the technical bit, okay? You can relax now. Why is that important? What's the result of that? Well, it's a new start. The result is a baptism. But it's more than that, folks. This man who had been distanced from God, the God he worships, the God he wants to know, he sees that Jesus has taken all his shame and closed the distance. It's in that quote that we're shown in Isaiah. It's all about Jesus. Who can speak of his descendants? It's even in the way he asks for baptism. This will have passed you by. Think about all the distances that has to be covered. Listen to the way he asks for baptism. Look at this really carefully with me. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Do you hear it? That is that man's heart. The man who had been told all his life, no, not for you. No admittance. You can't join. You can't come close. Sees in Isaiah Jesus and gets it. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Because it's a new birth, it's a new start, it's a fresh future, all for this man. And taking in the big sweep of the book, this is what the gospel's doing. It's moving out. It's hitting all kinds of people. It's drawing them in. God is closing the distance. Because what starts here with an African quickly moves to the conversion of Saul, the turning of Peter, and the adoption of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, into the family of God. That's us, by the way, in case you're wondering. The gospel reaches out to all of us. what about Philip? We're almost there. Well, Philip is seemingly whisked off to a place called Azotus, and then he settles in Caesarea. There he becomes known as the evangelist. Here's that last line of Acts 8, and then later on we're told of his nickname, Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven. And you know, I spent a good amount of time this week on your behalf looking at the commentaries on this verse. And when you do that, do you know what it gives you? It gives you nothing. There's no help. It gives you a little potted history of Azotus. Ach, Azotus, it's on that coast, and it used to be called this, and your man went there, and somebody else knocked the wall down. I mean, if I told you that, it seems like the commentators don't know what to do with this last line. Do you know what they miss and what we shouldn't miss? It's the missionary heart of Philip. It's the keep-going nature of his evangelism. He doesn't just get the Ethiopian, call it a win, and retire. He's still at it in Caesarea. And there are always two sides to that, aren't there? The speaker and the hearer. It's here in Acts 8, the Ethiopian and Philip. For the speaker, the evangelist, it's a willingness to take an opportunity. It's a learned faith that knows how to point people to Jesus. It's been said that the Bible doesn't know about silent Christians. Because what is on the heart will find its way to the tongue. That's the evangelist. On the listener side, it's a quick response to God, isn't it? It's a quick response to the good news about Jesus. This traveler from Africa is remarkably quick to hear about Jesus and know that he must do something. Maybe he was in possession of a very, very old Ethiopian saying. They say in Ethiopia, in the abundance of water, the fool is still thirsty. In the abundance of water, the fool is still thirsty. Or our own John Calvin put it this way, this will knock your socks off. I couldn't believe he said this. This is a minister, all right? The Presbyterian. Look what he says to you and me. How filthy is the sluggishness of those who suppress the faith which they have conceived, having been taught 5, 10, or 20 years. Old Calvin didn't hold back, did he? Do you know one response this morning is to hear this and be baptized? To hear the welcome of Jesus, to see his sacrifice, to join his family that now stretches across the world from Addis Ababa to Antrim. Nathan has taken that step already this morning. We were on the beach. He knows the gospel and he was baptized. It was freezing, but it was worth it. If you've heard and you believe and you haven't been baptized, but you want to be, then I would suggest you listen to grumpy old Calvin and speak to me about that. We would be delighted. We'll organize that. We'll get it done. Don't wait. Don't think, well, it's the summer. I'll wait till September. Or, do you know, September's busy. I'll wait till the new year. Well, the new year's Christmas and New Year's. You know what? I'll leave it till next summer. You know what? You'll forget. You'll forget. Do it now. The other response, if you have been baptized, is to enjoy this young family this morning, to learn from their devotion and think, do you know what? Who could I invite to church? Who could I speak to about Jesus? Who might I share the gospel with? A bit like Philip. Folks, the distance between you and God is great, but not with Jesus. And that's the gospel. And that's what we're seeing in Acts 8. It's what we'll see in a baptism. It's what you hear every week. Don't wait. Let me pray for us. Father, the distance you crossed to get to us is vast. and yet you've come close. You've shown us the Son. You've given us the guiding and the prompting of your Spirit. Father, some of us are feeling that prompt right now. So we pray for the speed and the courage to respond to you, to join this church family through baptism. And for the rest of us, we pray that today we would remember our own baptism, our vows, our promises, and we would come back to you again. The distance is no longer far. For you are the Father who looks down the road for us, the one who runs to us and welcomes us, forgives us, and makes us your sons and daughters because of Jesus. And that's why we pray. Amen.